Hey everyone, and welcome back to Navigating Life with Neurodiversity. I'm your host, Matt, ambulance service worker, neurodivergent, and someone who spent way too long feeling like money management should be simple, but it just never is. Today's episode is one I've been planning to dig into for a little while, the financial struggles that come with neurodivergence. Why does managing money feel so impossible, even when we know how important it is? Why do we swing between obsessive budgeting or total financial chaos? And more importantly, how can we start building systems that actually work around our brains? So we'll talk about the neuroscience, the emotional triggers, the real life barriers, and the ways that I'm trying, still imperfectly, to navigate it all. So let's start with the basics. Executive function. If you're neurodivergent, chances are you've heard this term a lot. It's a set of cognitive skills that help us plan, organize, prioritize, remember tasks, and control impulses. But here's the thing. For many of us, especially those with autism spectrum disorders, ADHD, or similar profiles, executive function doesn't operate the same way it does in a neurotypical brain. It isn't about laziness or carelessness, it's about neurological wiring. Managing finances demands executive functioning at every level, from remembering due dates to resisting the temptations of impulse spending. And when those systems are impaired, the result is predictable. Missed bills, forgotten budgets, financial chaos. Sometimes I don't ignore a bill because I don't care. I've ignored it because my brain literally doesn't recognize it as urgent until it is overdue. That isn't a flaw in my character, it's a breakdown in my cognitive processing. So let's talk about impulse spending, because this one's huge for me and many other neurodivergent folks. Neuroscience gives us some interesting insight here. Our brains are wired to seek out dopamine, which is the feel-good neurotransmitter that spikes whenever we experience pleasure, novelty, or reward. In neurodivergent brains, particularly those with ADHD, baseline dopamine levels can be lower, making us more driven to seek out quick boosts. Shopping, instant dopamine. Takeaway food after a stressful day, dopamine. That random Amazon cart full of things that you don't really need, but suddenly feel like you must have? Yep, dopamine. But the crash that follows, the guilt, the financial mess, the self-blame spiral, it's brutal. What started as a neurochemical attempt to feel better just ends up making everything worse. And yet, somehow, we do it again. Because for a few fleeting moments, it actually does help. But that's what makes it so hard to break. The brain keeps chasing that next hit, even when we know it's hurting us in the long term. Another factor that is often overlooked is how neurodivergence affects employment and therefore income stability. Sure, in my case, I'm lucky to work within the ambulance service, a role where my hyperfocus, calm under pressure are real assets. But even within this field, social dynamics can be tricky. Misunderstandings, miscommunications, toxic co-workers, station politics, or even subtle exclusions can all have professional consequences. And for many others in our other community, finding stable, accessible employment is even harder. And there is a reason that underemployment is so common among autistic adults and other neurodivergent individuals. The world simply isn't built for us, and that shows in our bank accounts. But financial stability isn't just about how much we earn. It's about how we manage, grow, and hold on to money in a system that often feels alien, overwhelming, or even hostile. If I'm going to be real, though, money is an anxiety beast. For me, it's one of the most paralyzing parts of my neurodivergent lifestyle. I can go from obsessing over every penny to avoiding my bank account completely. And the avoidance just makes things worse. Financial decisions trigger my rejection sensitivity, my fear of failure, and my internalized shame from years of feeling being bad with money. I'll delay making decisions, not because I don't care, but because I care too much. I feel overwhelmed by the possibility of making the wrong decision. There's actually a term for this cycle in some psychology literature. It's called avoidant coping. The more anxious you are about a task, the more you avoid it, which just deepens the problem. It's exhausting, it's deeply misunderstood, and much like the rest of my life, it serves as another paradox. So, obviously, we can't just sit and make excuses all the time. We have to try and figure out a way forward. So how am I trying to manage all of this? Well, it's fair to say that it is a work in progress, but I have found a few tools that are helping. Things like automating payments, because if I don't have to remember them, I'm less likely to forget them. Visual budgeting apps. I need color charts, interactive dashboards. I've built a really useful spreadsheet on Excel, which allows me to track my income and my expenditure and see where I'm at. Impulse spending buffers. Instead of trying to eliminate my dopamine-seeking behavior, I kind of factor it in advance. A little fun money helps curb my need to overspend. Planning my tattoos in advance is a huge part of this. A big one is external accountability. As much as I rebel against it, having someone I trust check in with me about money helps me stay grounded. In the interest of openness, in my case, it is my mother or my father, more often my mother that will check in with me about money. And to be totally honest, I outsource some of my financial management to my mother. Despite the fact that I rebel against it, it is a vital tool in helping me stay on track with things like rent, being able to transfer my student finance money directly to my mother and know that that money will then pay my rent in advance takes a lot of the pressure off me. But I need to work on the emotional roots. Obviously, a huge part of this podcast for me is trying to unpack the trauma and shame and anxiety that I've associated with a lot of aspects of my life, including money, for so long. It is uncomfortable, but it's necessary. So if you've listened to any of my other episodes before, or you're a friend or a family member, or even one of the many fans that I have that keep listening on a regular basis, there are recurring themes in a lot of these episodes. And the most important thing that I want people to take away from this episode specifically is that if you're neurodivergent and struggling with money, then you're not broken, you're not necessarily irresponsible or lazy, you just live in a world that doesn't work for your brain. We can build systems that do work for us, systems that honour our needs, support our differences, and let us thrive without constant burnout. Financial independence might not look conventional for us. It can be messy and non-linear, and there are a lot of setbacks, but it is possible, and we deserve it just as much as anyone else. Obviously, I'd love to hear your thoughts. What's helped you manage money in a situation? What struggles do you still face? Drop me a message, share this episode with someone who might relate. You're not alone, and the bigger we build this community, the stronger we become together. Thanks again for listening. If this episode resonates with you, please follow, rate, share it on Spotify or YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts from. Until next time, take care of yourself. Remember, your brain isn't broken. We're just wired differently.